Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am always positive, Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast. Just a couple of media credential Clipper fans and best friends bringing you Clipper news 5 days a week.
Oh, hell yeah.
We got a heck of a lot of news for you today. Mm-hmm. We're going to be kicking things off with sort of some defensive struggles for the team. So this has been an ongoing issue of mine, kind of a bugaboo. They've talked about this team being Clamp City at different times. Ooh. Obviously, with the personnel, this was thought of as a defense-forward team, but the offense has always been better. We're going to take a look at some of those struggles and how they might even be exacerbated with Ty Lue at the helm. So you'll want to check that out. And then wild free agency hypothetical Christian Wood to the Clippers, question mark?
I don't think it's that wild, but we can discuss that further.
I think it's insane, but we'll take a look. And then it's Friday. We have a Love, Mary quarantine for you. We're going to be talking city jerseys, so you're going to want to stay tuned for some all-time greats. All that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so we are talking Ty Lue defensive concerns. Yeah, and I mean, when does the worry start? Have we kind of already collectively as a fan base started worrying about how Ty Lue's going to run the defense? Like, what are we looking at here?
I was worried before Ty Lue. So
you were ahead of everybody on this.
We never were higher than five, like the fifth ranked defense, I don't think. And to the eye test, I just don't think it ever really got there. Sure, there's some great highlight stuff. Kawhi, obviously the steals were insane.
Yeah.
Really across the board, the steals were great. But a huge issue all season long was the amount of three-pointers that we would give up to other teams. And while we were decent in the field goal percentage that we allowed other teams, we saw time and time again, how many times did we see that somebody who was in a slump would come and play the Clippers and they would have that slump broken? That's not a curse. That's not anything.
Yeah.
That's nothing other than what it is, which is we allow too many easy looks to other teams.
Yeah. Bad process.
And I think a lot of that came down to, they struggled to tweak the defensive scheme. Granted, some of that was given because of the roster issues, but this can't really be a switch heavy sort of defense, apparently, because it's just never, it's seemingly never worked out. But yeah, so let's just take a look at where we were in the regular season defensively. We had a defensive rating 107, which is, pretty good.
Yeah.
Fifth in the league. Like I said, we were a bottom 10 team in opponent field goal attempts, 90 plus a game for our opposing teams. We did hold opponents to under 44% from the floor, which is, which is a top five. So,
yeah.
It's pretty solid. The thing that's troubling to me, though, is that we did allow the fourth most three-point attempts in the entire league. Opponents against us average like 36 threes a game.
Ugh.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And once again, like we kept the percentages low. But still, if you're getting that many attempts, at some point, the math is going to outweigh, even the best, defended field goal percentages.
For sure. Yeah.
So, this is a problem for me.
I mean, I agree. Yeah, the threes are crazy.
This is a problem for me. And it's troubling to look at the numbers and see that, that we are a bottom five team in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what's troubling or worrisome is that's not something that Ty Lue is going to come in and improve.
Okay.
I was kind of taking a look at some of those Cavs teams numbers, basically 15, 16 to the end of his tenure there in, 17, 18.
Yeah.
And they consistently, those Cavs teams consistently ranked in the bottom of opponent three-pointers allowed and opponent three-point percentage. The notable exception being the 15, 16 year, which was seventh in three point attempts allowed.
Yeah.
And I'm like middle of the pack in percentage. So not a surprise there. That was, you know, probably the best
yeah.
that iteration
optimum
of the team
Cavs, for sure.
Yeah, ever looked. So that's worrisome. It's something that killed us. It's something that killed us.
Yeah, literally, for sure.
Killed us in the playoffs. And just given the track record, I guess I don't have a lot of confidence that that aspect of the game is going to improve. And especially looking at the Western Conference, when you have so many teams that are, you know, five out lineups that can shoot, you know, there's so many shooters.
Yeah.
It seems difficult to crack the top five defensively.
Yeah, and even the backcourts get better, right? Like, the backcourts are good every year in the West, and with, you know, the Warriors coming back, they're going to have a pretty damn good backcourt no matter what. It is just weird to think about that. We really did kind of convince ourselves this was going to be a defensive lockdown team, and I think part of it is, like, there's that weird thing, right, where the Bucks allowed the most three-pointers taken, and I think had the most three-pointers scored on them, but they still won these games. But we didn't go ahead.
They also, I mean, like, they also had the best offensive rating, though, in the league. So, like,
yeah,
clearly, like,
they had a system. Like, there was an actual, like, we know what we're doing. We're not going to let, you know, say Reggie Jackson get switched on a Luka Doncic every single time the other team wants it or something like that. But it is kind of weird to think about this team as maybe not. And I'm happy Lou said in that introductory press conference that it starts on defense. But, man, I really, really hope it actually does start on defense for this team.
B-Ball Breakdown did a video when the Cavs fired Ty Lue. And he kind of speculated that part of that was due to the defensive struggles. Obviously, the main reason was that Ty Lue went against the GM and was playing the vets. And clearly, yeah. they were at odds with the direction of the team. But those teams did struggle defensively. Like, as I said earlier, you know, gave up a lot of three-pointers. Not great, especially considering who your playoff opponent is going to be most likely every year. And the other thing was they had really poor switching, and it was, you know, it was said that the on-floor communication was not good.
Oof.
And that's a team, you know, like a LeBron-led team that has a clear leader on the floor.
They're talking, know? Yeah.
So combining that with our team that already, you know, very poor at communicating, like, while Doc mostly cited the fives as being poor at communication, at least publicly, I think that was a top down issue.
It's got to be everybody, right? Like, you can't just blame Zoo and Trez for the defensive struggles, especially when they're not the shot callers for defense in any way.
Yeah, definitely. So I don't know, but just already having those problems on this last year's Clippers team, it does make me a lot more nervous. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that they can get the right staff around him. I mean, they certainly can afford any other assistant that they could conceivably want. And then I guess one other last thing on the defensive thing is that, like, we talked about this throughout the season, like, the turnovers weren't great.
It was bad. It was a bugaboo for everybody. It almost feel like it got swept under the rug because we were always so worried about it, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. And it became one of those things where, like, there are teams that have higher turnover percentages and higher turnover numbers, and it doesn't really matter because they're generating enough offense or they can generally recover enough that it's not as big of a deal. So it certainly wasn't the only thing that killed us, but what did kill us in that regard is that, so we turn the ball over like 14% of the time. And
so high.
We never really forced other teams to turn the ball over like we like you would think we would, you know, having your Paul Georges and having your Kawhis. Opponents against us only turn over the ball 13%.
If we're gonna be a defensive team, that, I mean, it literally has to be higher. You can't be a defensive team and not force turnovers.
So like, you look at the Lakers, I was watching kind of their turnover numbers all season, and that was part of the reason that I was kind of like, you know, like, we're not the only high turnover team in the West. It's whatever. But they held opponents. They had, like, opponents had a much higher turnover percentage against the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it was like a trademark of their play. Like,
yeah,
you know, getting the ball turned over and getting out in transition. So that's bothersome. And then there's like just a couple other outlier things for the Clippers. We're bottom 10 in deflections per game.
That's kind of shocking because I just want that to be higher. It's such an not easy, but like we have the personnel to deflect more passes than the bottom 10 teams.
Yeah. And we were the fifth worst team in loose balls recovered, which that's the antithesis of what Clippers basketball is.
Hustle play. Yeah. That was like, I mean, the 18-19 team, that's like what, you know, kind of what we hung our hat on a little bit. Like,
yeah. So I don't know, man. I part of me wonders if we were just kind of kidding ourselves in some of our defensive hopes or expectations for this team.
Yeah, and it's going to be real. I mean, I'm just so excited. We talk about it with offensive footage. I just want to see some defensive footage from this team and warm-up stuff. You're like, you know, preseason stuff, right? Like,
they don't usually put those highlights up, though.
I wish they did. I wish they had like a defensive-only highlights page for the Clippers, and it was just like some good rotations, you know, some good fighting through screens. Like, it's going to be really interesting what Ty Lue does with this team. We don't really know what he did with the defense this year. But yeah, there's going to be some frustrations for sure. Like no matter what, we're probably going to be a little aggressive in the beginning. But, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. I do like that we're getting a full kind of switch from whatever we saw last year.
Is it though?
It might be. let us know what you think about the Clippers defense. Coming up, we're going to be talking what maybe Christian Wood would look like on the Clippers and how that would – there's a couple things that have to happen for that to happen. But first, we have to give a shout out to Built Go. They're keeping the lights on over here. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, which is a fast absorbing gel, so it gets into your system quickly. Plus, it's easy on your stomach if you got the upset tummy over there. You can break through your wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall. Break through it with Go every day. Easy to take 1.5 ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase so you can be the most focused presenter ever, or your golf bag if you just really want to beat your buddy on the back nine. It's a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. If you'd like a special offer, visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED. That is all capital letters, one word, and you'll get 30% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go.
Okay, so we're back, and Charles has proposed this free agency idea, which I'm definitely not opposed to, but we're talking Christian Wood.
Hottest name in free agency, it almost feels like right now, right?
Twitter
like,
darling.
It's crazy, the buzz around this guy. So this is in a world where Trez walks and we don't get both of Mook and Jamichael. We get one or the other. So we get one of those three, either Mook or Jamichael for this. Christian Wood is kind of that tweener. He plays like the 4.5 a little bit. If you didn't watch a lot of Pistons games, which, hey, you missed a whole bunch this year, his per 36 was real nice. His per 36 is 22-11-1 on splits of 56, 38, and 74. So, like, he can score, and a lot of this kind of came at the tail end of the season, but he can score in a bunch of different ways. He scored almost 22% of his points on spot-ups, which he was also the 86th percentile on scoring efficiency in. And as the role man, he was in the 95th percentile in efficiency, and he took almost 20% of his shots as the role man, and then 16% were in transition. So, like, the spot-ups and the role man stats I love for this Clippers team, you know? Like, yeah, that's fantastic to see. The issue, he doesn't generate a lot of offense in the post. Almost 25% of his shot attempts were catch-and-shoot threes, and he shot 40% of those, which is right around Kawhi, PG, and Gallo. So, like, there's a possible really, 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 really good player here, and he's only 25. So we could kind of maybe, if these things fell, get him on that, like, pre-first big deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think it'd be really interesting. His defense is, like, you know, it's pretty good. He held opponents to 54% around the basket, which is around the same figure as Nerlens Noel, Steven Adams, and Bam Adebayo. And he's pretty versatile on switching. So, like, just him as a player, I think, fits in with the Clippers so well, especially if we're thirsty for these more five-out lineups.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he makes a lot of sense. I certainly think as a, you know, as a backup on that.
Yeah, it's clear. I want to make it clear to you. I'm talking backup. I'm not talking starting four or anything crazy like that.
Yeah, no, of course. As a backup, I think he's definitely an interesting proposition. I guess my only knock would be, you know, he's still 6'10". He's still like kind of in that Trez body range. I guess if you play him at the four with Jermike at the five, I don't know. I'm a little bit torn because I still feel like he's that tweener, though he definitely has he has a lot more upside, obviously, than other guys of that, you know, sort of body form that we've had, those kind of tweeners that we've had before.
He's got the shot, which helps. I feel like a lot of our tweeners haven't really had like the NBA caliber shot. Like, we know Fee, his form looks good, yada, yada, yada. Motley never had the shot, that whole thing. But he seems like he's got a nice stroke, if you will.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing is like, I just don't think there's any way we can get him.
The Pistons have to, like, if the Pistons don't re-sign him, it's absolutely insane. But like, his projected salary is kind of all over the place. Like, I've seen $6 million, I've seen $10 million talked about. Like, no one really knows what the market is for him, which is interesting, which is kind of the product of the shortened schedule. And he's on a team that didn't make the playoffs.
Yes, definitely. I think if you can get him at that sixth range, I mean, for how young he is, up to eight, if you start getting in that 10 range, I don't really know that that's the best value that you can get, especially because you mentioned another guy in here who I might like, you know, for the role that we would need him to play, I might like even better
for sure.
In Nerlens Noel.
Oh, I'm not mad at that. Yeah, he'd probably be cheaper, I'd assume. I'm not really sure what he's looking for contract stuff.
Because and this is assuming, you know, this isn't for sure, but assuming that our priorities are first to lock down Jermichael and Morris, I think that it makes sense to want another traditional, like the traditional center.
Large human being to play center, yeah.
on the second unit. And to me, like, Nerlens Noel is a great candidate for that. Maybe Okafor. Somebody like that. Somebody who is, you know, still athletic enough, great rebounder, but, you know, like, Christian Wood is a much more.
He's stretchy.
He's stretchy. He has like he has a larger skill set, definitely, and projects as upside wise, you know, in the future, a much better player. But
yeah,
for what the Clippers need right now, I guess I'm still kind of I'm still kind of hoping that our first task would be, you know, retaining Jermichael or Morris. But, you know, if that didn't happen, like you said, I'd definitely be interested in kicking the tires on Christian Wood.
Yeah, because when you're looking at Christian Wood in this scenario that we've laid out, like, you're kind of asking yourself, based on what we've seen about Trez's market, like, would you pay Christian Wood as much as you would pay Trez? And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I like the shot is great.
You also kind of have to commit to like a full-on five-out lineup kind of being the second option. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have two lineups with a traditional center and then a five-out lineup you run. You have like one kind of lineup you have with a traditional center, and then everything else is kind of five-out. Because we don't even know what Zoo's minutes are going to look like. They're probably going to be more than last year. But like, this would be a heavy commitment to the five-out lineup.
Yeah. No, agreed. I guess it would depend on his, like, what he looks like defensively on the team as well.
The switchability, I like he's guarded points every now and then and stuff,
like, in theory, totally.
But for and when you're talking about a team like the Clippers who has championship expectations, like, are we going to be able to play them in the playoffs? Which we don't really know.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I mean, the guy's only started 14 games in his entire NBA career.
So it's so weird because recency bias is huge for this guy. Like, people love how he ended the season. Pistons fans were like in a whole meltdown the other day because on Instagram, Christian Wood was like, where should I go? And Pistons fans were like, no, like, he's going to leave. So
based on that, I don't know. Like, I love the upside. I still don't know if I'm ready to commit as much money as Trez, assuming that Trez is still in that, you know, sub 12 range.
Yeah, for sure. Because if we want, you know, if Ballmer's really serious about develop youth or whatever, like there's worse places to try and develop a 25, 26-year-old who might be a stretch 4.5 for sure. But you got to weigh those expectations. Like, are we going to sacrifice a better seed because we're giving someone like Christian Wood time? Or, you know,
Is he ready?
Like, it's a lot to think about. But, you know, yeah, if we only get one of Mook, Jermichael, or Trez, I wouldn't be mad at the Clippers, you know, throwing the guy an interview, you know, maybe buying him a new car. He's so young that I love. And then it makes me, you know, then you got Sham, Christian Wood, Terrence Mann. That's an okay youth, you know, attempt at a groundswell.
Yeah. No, I like it. If the possibility would happen, I'd definitely be interested. I would think that the Pistons would do whatever it takes to hold him down and, you know, like, hope that they can develop him there.
Because he can learn from Blake too, right? Like, you're talking about a stretch 4.5. There's a lot, you know, it'd be nice to learn from Blake, especially late year Blake, who's really changed his game so much.
Definitely. And then, I mean, there's also just a chance for him in a more featured role there, which, you know, would accelerate his growth as a player.
Yeah. Big weight for him too. Like, do I want to be on a championship team in this scenario, or do I want to really work on my game a little more?
Yeah, definitely.
Man, a lot of questions for Christian Wood. Let us know at Locked On Clips if you think we should pick up Christian Wood. He's only been mentioned like once or twice in our comments, which I was kind of surprised at. I think it's just because maybe he plays for the Pistons. Coming up, we have our always third segment, which is called Shavings, dedicated to our old podcast. We got a Love, Marry, Quarantine, and Kawhi's maybe making music now.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings, which is basically just all the news shaking around in the drawer. Yeah. We just kind of pull it out, take a look, see what's going on. The biggest sort of loose end news is that Kawhi might be making music now.
This is insane, right?
Yes. Apparently, he has some records.
Four
that may or may not have been produced by Michael Made It, very famous producer. Some great stuff there. But I don't know about this, man.
It's so Nav Josh, music journalist who founded Hip Hop Is More, he tweeted that he has four Kawhi records on his phone. He then deleted the tweet, which is hilarious.
And he also in that same tweet mentioned that someone else played one for him. So
yes.
These are in some sort of circulation.
They exist. They 100% exist. Like what? Like what? Flow is, I don't even.
What are we looking at here? Party all the time?
I don't even know. Like what? Kawhi talks so little. I don't even know what flow he would use. Like, is he?
What if it's just like ODB type stuff?
He's doing a lot of sing rap. Like,
yeah,
I'm not mad at that. That'd be awesome. But like, I think the big question is, will these ever see the light of day outside of, you know, kind of the elite music? You know what I mean? Like that. Like, oh, I hear music people don't hear. Like, is the public ever going to hear these records? I don't think so, is my guess.
My hope is no. I got to be honest with you, ma'am. My hope is no. Yeah.
I think Kawhi...
You're so good at basketball.
I think Kawhi recorded these as like, you know, like you record songs with your friends when you're in college or whatever. And you're like, oh, this is a fun time. Like, this is cool.
Yeah. But
he's just a millionaire, so he can have beats from Michael made it on his throne.
Well, and, you know, and probably just has a bunch of friends who work in music. So it's kind of like, yeah, let's, you know, let's do this. Let's mess around or whatever. Actually, you know what? If it's fun, if it's a good fun time, like let's say a Delonte West KFC freestyle type.
Oh, okay. Good time, yeah. Now we're talking good stuff.
I'm kind of in. I'm dipping my toes in. I'm back in.
I'm like, my thing is like, did someone ask him into the booth, or is he hanging out there and is like, oh, I wrote something down. Everyone's like, what?
Like, I mean, if there's four records, people can't have been that surprised, I guess, at each time he was getting in the booth.
That's true. Is he writing things down, or do you think he's going straight from the dome?
I don't believe that anyone's going straight from the dome.
That's fair. So he's right. Well, he's right.
Except for people who are very obviously
bad. Yeah, that's fair. I think I'm torn too on if I hope to see the light of day. I hope
if it's just like fun crew tracks with other rappers and he's just on them. I'm kind of in.
Yeah, like, it's like him and Dame Lillard and then like Ray Schremer or something.
Hannibal Buress will hop on a track every now and then. He was like on a Mike Eagle song, and
yeah,
it's like, it's a good time. And if it's a good time, I'm kind of back in. If he's the main star and it's serious, it's a hard out for me.
If he's rapping about basketball, I'm out.
Ooh, that's a good call too.
If he's like, I'll cross you up, you're like, okay, I'm done with this.
I'm out.
I'm sorry, Kawhi.
What do you think his rap name is?
So I've been trying to think about that. You think it's Terminator?
Clawson Ave?
dude, I hope not. Maybe. What if it's just the Claw?
Yeah, that's okay.
That's the thing. I have no idea what to expect.
MF Claw?
Dude, MF Claw would be sick. He's just got the mask. It's just the Claw, but you just know who it is because it's cool. It's a professional basketball player. Oh my god, that would be awesome. If you have heard any of these tracks and you're listening, please DM us at Locked On Clips.
Any information you have on Kawhi rapping.
I'm trying to get my hands on these tracks. All right, now for the important stuff. A few City Edition jerseys have been leaked. I would say the results are mixed so far. The Blazers one is pretty cool. It pays homage to the Native American heritage there, which is great. The Nets and Pelicans one look really bad. The Nets one almost looks like they're trying to do a Friends, like the TV show thing with it. And the Pels one is just like a little, just goofy. So what should the Clippers use as inspiration for their City Edition jerseys? We've talked about this before, but we got a new one for you. The options are the LA dog, which is the classic bacon wrapped hot dog with a jalapeno, ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise that you usually get for $3 to $5, depending on where you're at in the city. They base the jersey off that. They base the jersey off of smog, which I think could be an interesting gradient thing, like they do in Utah with the orange one they have. Now that Pabst Blue Ribbon is brewed in Los Angeles at the old Miller plant, they just do PBR jerseys, same colorway, not that big a transition. And then this is a fantastic one. Why don't you introduce this one? Because I love this one.
I think they should do a Thai Town specific jersey. I think that they could use the light blue color. I think it should be sponsored by Chang Beer, great Thai beer. You know, pays heritage to a really cool part of LA culture.
Yeah,
and plays homage. I think it has a heritage.
Yeah. No, the Thai Town one is so sweet. I think there's definitely some cool design stuff that could be going there. I think I'm going to love the Thai Town jersey because it also seems like the most realistic out of any of these, just for some reason. I think that, you know, a lot of people think about K-Town, people think about maybe Chinatown, which is pretty big here, but Thai Town would be really interesting for sure. I'm going to marry the smog one because I think it's so funny. The smog makes some pretty gorgeous / dangerous for breathing like sunsets here in Los Angeles. So you can maybe do a cool gradient type one, like a purple to orange. It has nothing to do with our colorway. But you know, these are City Edition jerseys, so who cares? And I think I might have to quarantine the PBR one just cause, you know, people think about Wisconsin, but it is the same colorway. So that avenue seems easier.
Yeah. So, all right. I'm co-loving the LA Dogs and actually the PBR jersey.
That would be a great combination.
I'm loving them both. LA Dogs. I mean, that's just a classic. I think of like the old time movie commercials with like the dancing hot dogs and stuff.
Let's something all go that, to the lobby. Yeah.
Yeah. Something kind of like that. Yeah. But on not, a jersey. Not a
menacing, not a menacing hot dog.
Or a menacing one. I'm fine. I just want it to be like anthropomorphic and,
you know, oh yeah. Have, arms, legs.
Yes.
For sure.
And I also like the idea of the PBR. I think it'd be really funny if it was a big blue ribbon on it, because the Clippers would just get ripped apart for it being the, like the only thing we would ever win.
Yes.
Which I mean, I think would be pretty funny to be honest with you. I think that would be really funny. I got to marry the Thai Town jersey.
It's a good one.
You know, and this could also be a K-Town jersey as an alternate. There's so much cool like culture in LA that I feel like people outside of Los Angeles never really know about or never get to experience. And it's certainly, you know, the Lakers don't do anything to that end. So I think it'd be really cool to sort of have little homages, not heritages, to that.
Yeah, for sure. A K-Town one would be cool. Yeah, any of the towns I feel like would be cool, because they're so just, like you said, underrepresented and kind of, other than the Dodgers, all of LA sports.
Yes, definitely. And then I got to quarantine the smog one.
That's fair.
I've heard enough about the smog. There's enough negativity about Los Angeles. I don't need to promote that.
That's a good call. Let us know which of these options you would like on Love, Marry, Quarantine at Locked On Clips. Monday's episode, we're going to have the freshies, hopefully some free agent gossip, maybe some Christian Wood news. Ooh, fun times. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, where can these fantastic people tell their friends to listen to this podcast?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Spotify. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can even tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers.
Heck yes. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us. Still bringing it to you 5 days a week. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.